The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. Just 24 hours away. 24 hours, a little change from March Madness. It is a numbers game. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland on Sharp Week. There's a wave to the crowd, Kelly.
Yeah, that's right. Sharp Week, let's go.
Sharp Week. Good show. Jim Root from Three Man Weave will join us momentarily for a couple segments. We'll go bracket by bracket. I don't know about bracket by bracket. Let me not say that because we don't have enough time for that. But region by region. And we'll get his best bets for the round of 64. See if there's anything tonight in the two play-in games. Maybe some NIT. And then, of course, get his Elite Eight, Final Four, so on and so forth. With Jim Root coming up. Kelly will talk some golf, some Valspar championship thoughts as well. I promise to do this. I will try to navigate my way through a little survivor strategy a little later on the show.
Yep.
We'll see how that goes. I'm sure it'll go fine.
I like when I just write things in the rundown without
Kelly's
talking
like,
to Gil.
Gil's like, going
to
talk survivor strategy. I'm like, I am? Okay. So I'll see if I can have
it. I thought we were signing up, though. We're signing up, right?
Oh, yeah, I got to get you in there.
Yeah, you got to get me in there, man.
All right. Okay. Yes, I will.
You were throwing out promises yesterday, not just me.
No. I got Ben Wilson on there. I'll get you on there. Okay. And Will Hill was the other guy.
Well, I was really hoping you weren't going to ask me who else you promised. Yeah. It was Will. It was Will.
I think
Will.
I got Drew on there and Felico on there, too. We'll get you in there. And then we got a whole bunch of other stuff going on, too. But it's mainly college basketball today. Rick Gaiman will be here to talk bracket strategy with us. JVT as well, who's obviously an NBA guy, but he's got college basketball thoughts, which means we have so much college basketball. Let me just vomit out everything else we wanted to say here. One, the Aaron Rodgers thing. This is fantastic. Can I just say this? Last week, I'm on the show kind of screaming, not really, but you know how it goes, where I was kind of passionate about the fact that, will he just pick a team already?
Yeah.
Like, can you be a normal human being and just tell us where you want to play? No, he can't, because he's Aaron Rodgers, all about him. That Achilles thing still bothers me. That's where my hatred for Aaron Rodgers
yeah,
started.
Yeah,
I was
we know.
Personally offended by it.
We know.
Oh, yeah, I can come back this year, and all his hack doctors on Twitter just backing him up. Anyway, Cameron Haywood is like, yeah, like, if you want to be a Steeler, be a Steeler. But, like, I'm not recruiting you. I'm paraphrasing. I'm not recruiting you anymore. You know, if you come here, great. If you don't, it's no skin off my back. I love this. By the way, the Vikings are out on Aaron Rodgers. So what does it come down to now? Steeler, you have three choices now. A, Steelers. B, Giants, which makes no sense for either the Giants or Aaron Rodgers. Or C, get your ass out of here.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
Just leave.
I think it's funny where it's like, I think Aaron Rodgers clearly wants the Vikings.
You said Kelly Bidlin had the best analysis on this of anybody. May I give you your props on this? You said Aaron wants to be with the Vikings, Russell wants to be with the Steelers, and the Steelers want Aaron Rodgers. That's right. It's like a triangle.
Yeah, it's like this triangle where nobody wants to work together. No, and I referenced Evan Cohen bringing that up on an ESPN radio show. I think it's dead on.
Ergo.
It's like this weird musical chairs going on where nobody actually wants to be with each other.
Ergo the delay.
I mean, it's just real quick on that. If you're a Steelers fan out there, I really hope that you are still old school Steeler fan enough to not care as much about Aaron Rodgers and look at what Cameron Haywood said and said, that's why we're the Pittsburgh
Steelers.
Well,
you know what? I have two Steelers fans very close to me. One is on one side, one is the other. Todd Wishnev absolutely is on that thinking. He's like, forget that guy, right?
Yeah.
Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha, he's like, yeah, I kind of want Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, like, I get it. It gives you a better chance to win.
Does it?
It's a culture.
Have we watched the last year of football?
I mean, we just saw him blow up a franchise that's going to take years to recover from it. And, like, the Steelers have been the model of consistency in the NFL. You can't. I don't think you can gamble with that.
Tennis has.
Expecting this much on Aaron Rodgers.
Tennis has not been going well. 0-2 yesterday. This is kind of out of the blue for me. I don't know what's going on here with the Hards. But I am firing away with three more today in Miami. Miami just started yesterday. Naomi Osaka, by the way, our futures play just got through against Starodubtseva is how you pronounce that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot I tailed you on that.
So Naomi got through, but her body language was awful.
Oh, no.
She was down 5-love before you could blink. I'm like, what is this? And she came back and won. Today, two on the men's side, one on the ladies' side. These are all dogs, and they're all kind of big dogs. Sebastian Baez, who's a clay court guy, going up against Alexander Bublik, who is a hard court guy who hates clay. This is hard, but Bublik has been playing terribly on hard courts. Baez, who is a pain to eliminate, plus 146, the play for me. Then Fabian Morozan, plus 167 versus the great Gael Monfils, taking a shot on Morozan, whose hard court numbers are as good, if not better, than that of Monfils. And then on the lady side, this is a real long shot. This is Julia Graber. She is she's Austrian.
Or if you're looking at your spelled sports
book. Julia Graber. But it's pronounced Julia Graber. Plus 237 versus Tyra Katarina Grant, who is not used to playing on the main tour. And we'll see. Like, Graber has not been playing well either. May I just admit that? That's why it's plus 237. But it's always interesting when someone who's a veteran plays someone brand new. Will the stage be too big? So that's worth a plus 237 shot. So those are the three plays in tennis. By the way, I have like four more. And right now, I'm kind of, I'll be honest, I'm kind of gun shy.
Yeah.
Kind of gun shy. So those are going to be my three. And we'll try to turn this around in the old tennis game.
I don't like it. It obviously gets frustrating then when you're, you get gun shy, you don't play those win.
The other four will absolutely go 4-0.
It's still the
Should I give you those four?
Sure.
Those
I'm sure people want them, yeah. But it's still the right mentality. Dial back when you're getting into the slumps. You got to dial back and reevaluate things.
Consider it dialed back. All right, March Madness. We have the VSiN Bracket Challenge. VSiN Bracket Challenge. Are you entering this? You're in?
Yeah, I'm not in yet, but I'm going to.
But
yes.
You're, okay.
Yes,
Gil. So again, now VSiN hosts and get like VSiN host. We can't win the prize. The prize for the VSiN Bracket Challenge, for first place, $3,000. Second place, $1,500. Third place, $500. But you get to beat all of us. That's the bragging rights on top of the money, right? You can say, oh man, I crushed Kelly Bidlin, man.
That's right.
That guy, he ain't nothing. Look at me. So here's the deal. Again, it's 20 ATS or totals picks in round one. Then it goes to 10 in the round of 32 or round two. Then it goes 4-3-2-1 the rest of the way.
20.
We got to come up with 20.
20.
20 in round one. And by the way, I have made 8 actual bets.
I started firing this morning too. Yep.
Okay. So should I go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Let's do the three that I already had. Do we have those handy? I'm on Grand Canyon plus the points against Maryland. That was one of them. I'm on Georgia plus the points against Gonzaga. And then what was my third? I can't even remember what the third one was.
San Diego.
Yeah,
plus three.
Yeah, that's the one I hate, that I took UC San Diego plus the three against Michigan, and I like had instant regret about it. By the way, let me just say this before I get to more of the picks. Last night, first four, Alabama State in a great game beat St. Francis. You see the ending of that game? A little little Hail Mary pass down the court that somehow caromed right under the basket and they score. And then St. Francis didn't do the same thing. They're like, I'll just bounce past this real short to my teammate with 1 second left, see if that works out. So Alabama State out of the SWAC gets to play Auburn. They're 32-point favorites. But anyway, that was a great first four game. Or as the crew there was saying, they were like, oh, my God, this is there's nothing as good as first four games. Seth Davis was saying that.
I'll say
it again. There's nothing as great as first four games. So Alabama State wins. They're 32-point dogs against Auburn in the round of 64. It was a fun finish.
Was it a good game?
Yeah, it was a good game.
Okay.
The other game was not, and you're unlikely to see as bad a performance as you did from San Diego State as for the rest of the tournament, perhaps. But North Carolina just destroys San Diego State. And so North Carolina, remember all of the mainstream media buzz, right? How they shouldn't have been in this tournament. And we sat here on the show and we're like, none of that matters. On the podcast, on the Megapod, I'm like, I'm not even interested in talking about that because it has nothing to do with betting, right? And this is the main takeaway from that game. By the way, 95-68, just squeaking by the 4.5-point cover for North Carolina. The main point of that game last night should be to remind everybody when you're making your bets or when you're filling out your brackets, but specifically when you're filling out your brackets, nobody knows anything. I'm on this network. This network, they know. But I'm just saying, like, all the buzz, all the noise, there is never a worse signal-to-noise ratio than there is before March Madness. Because within 3 minutes or 5 minutes of that game starting last night, you knew, oh, Carolina's going to destroy them. And remember, when these games start tomorrow and Friday, it's going to take 3 minutes of some of these games before you're like, oh, everything everybody's been saying is dead wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big takeaway. Anyway, I added 5 more this morning on our way to 20 to get into this bracket challenge. So in addition to the 3 I just mentioned, I did grab Liberty plus the points, the Liberty Flames plus the points. That game, I want to get the schedule right on all of this. The Liberty game is in the East region. That's on Friday morning. They're catching 7 against Oregon, against Dane Altman's Oregon Ducks. Liberty 25-0 when you don't crack 70 points against them. They allow 63 points per game. The total is really low, and you're catching 7 points, the Conference USA tournament champs. Thank you very much. I'll take the 7. I am on North Carolina. Speaking of that, first four team has gotten to the round of 32 very often, and I am taking North Carolina. That one is in the South region. That's on Friday against Ole Miss. North Carolina now a tick of a favorite even, so I'm taking the heels there. Yale plus 7, that's in the South region on Thursday. That's tomorrow. I'm taking the Bulldogs, back-to-back Ivy champs, taking them plus the touchdown against Texas A&M. Texas A&M, 17.0 second-chance points per game this year, highest in D1. I will expect Yale's fundamentals to work out and box out.
Yeah, I'm on Yale, too. I'm with you on that one.
Okay. Then I'm taking Drake. This is also tomorrow. This is in the West region. Drake, the 11-6 game against Mizzou, the Fighting Ben Wilson and Jeff Parlays of Mizzou. I'm taking Drake. They've got the number one scoring D in the nation, holding their opponents to 58.4 points a game. They slow the game down. I like a slow pace if you're giving me 6.5, so I'm taking Drake there. And then the only other one I've got so far, Arkansas. Taking an SEC team plus the points plus the 5 against Kansas. That's a Thursday game in Providence in the Western region. So that's tomorrow as well. So I've added 5. So 8 total plays. I got to come up with 12 more for the VSiN Bracket Challenge. VSiN.com/champweek. Coming back with Jim Root from 3-Man Weave next.
The Sports Betting Network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now, you can check out March Madness futures from Mike Somich and Dave Tooley. Greg Peterson's best bets in college hoops and previews of today's first four. And for all first-round games, later today, you can check out Zach Cohen's best bets in the NBA, Jonathan Davis's NHL best bets, Josh Applebaum's college basketball sharp report. To get access to all the articles and betting guides on VSiN.com right now, you can sign up for as little as $9.99. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. That VSiN betting guide looking good, too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
The college basketball March Madness betting guide.
There is a lot in there.
It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Let me navigate towards through some of these. This is from on yesterday's show. Let's see. Nick Zimmerman. Love the ANG show, fellas. As Todd called it, the ANG show, fellas. And listen daily since the beginning of VSiN. Going through my dad's old sports card collection, found a gem. Now I need to get this bad boy signed by the legend. He's got a Brent Musburger card that he'd like signed. Hey, we could make that happen, maybe. That's very nice.
I got a Brent Musburger action figure.
I do,
too. Misspelled action figure.
Misspelled action figure. I have that as well. QC, Quant Coach. Glad to have QC back on the old Twitter talk. He says, so glad to have Joe Pita back on baseball. He's truly... what does he say? A sweet generous thinker on the game. I don't know that Latin there. Sweet generous? Is that Latin? Let's see here. This is a utopia. This is a typical Twitter talk. You ready for this? Mm-hmm. Talking about Joe Pita. He goes, where can I find his previous picks he cited, claiming he offered 8 total wins picks? What? I love when claims? Yeah, we're making it up. He totally wasn't on last week giving out 5 before he gave out 3 yesterday. We lied.
Maybe he's just so stunned.
We just made it up.
He's
claiming.
So stunned at Joe's coming out of retirement.
Claiming. I love the words. This is, primetime, Cowboys_1. Yo, hey, man. I was filling out my bracket and suddenly had this overwhelming sense of comfort. I remembered that America's team, our Dallas Cowboys, have won 3, count them, 3 Super Bowls since the woofed skins last appeared in one. Oh, God. Is that what you're going with? Is that what you're going with? Really? He's like, Jaden Daniels and the Skins guys of the championship game. He's like, what can I hold on to? I'll come up with something. By the way, baseball overnight. Can I just say this again? Man. Dodgers beat the Cubs again. So 2-0 in Tokyo. Not good for our Mets first to 10, nor our Twins to win March, April. The hope was a split there in Tokyo.
It's hot take. I think this Ohtani kid's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, he had a homer. That's his first of the year. Bainbridge, Deweese, Fezzik's NIT overs angle was 6-1 last night. Curious if that applies first round. We'll ask Fezzik about that. And let's see. Joe Cag says, as a Steelers fan, since Dick Shiner was the quarterback, and with all due respect to Mr. Andrews, absolutely no Steelers fan wants Aaron Rodgers. Okay. And then Jason H. 11. Any chance grab hair will match up with volley nets or volleyball? He said, no chance here in the first round. Let's talk some college hoops. Jim Root, ladies and gentlemen, from Three Man Weave, one third of the Three Man Weave crew, who's actually on the strip right now. You can follow him at Second Chance Points. That's with the number two. Second Chance Points at Three Man Weave, 3MW underscore CBB. He's on the strip, but he's a prima donna, so he couldn't come down here to the studio. How you doing, Jim?
I'm good. Yeah, Gil, it's good to get boots back on the ground here. They used to let me live here, and now it's only like 5 days they let me stop in March and hang out, and then they kick me out again.
Let's start with tonight. First four games. We have two again tonight, and we have the NIT and Rando College Hoops. Do you have anything tonight?
I will be on Xavier tonight. That's the one I like the most of those two games. I mean, I think those 6TC games can be pretty toss-up-y, as we saw last night with the seesaw back and forth and the frenetic final minute. But I like Xavier against Texas. I think they're a better coached team. They're both teams pretty reliant on guard shot-making, and I just trust the shot-makers a little more on Xavier. Conwell's 38 points in the Big East tournament showed he's really going to show up in the postseason. And there's a little sneak revenge angle here on the 2023 NCAA tournament when Texas beat Xavier in the Sweet 16. Sean Miller was here, Zach Fremantle, Xavier's big man was here, and Jerome Hunter, their forward off the bench, was there. So maybe a little extra incentive for a team I already think is better coached and just a little bit better overall.
Okay. Just making fun, by the way. You didn't have to come down here. Where are you? Mid-strip? Where are you? Mid-strip, north strip, south strip? We're going to narrow you down so the paparazzi
Sapphire,
gets to you.
Rhino?
Where are you?
We are mid-strip. Yeah, no. So do you want my room number? See if people come pound on the door?
Social security number, all that. Yeah, if you could.
Yeah, exactly.
What'd you say, Sapphire, Rhino?
Yeah.
I got that. All right, let's do this. Let's do this since the way that this goes chronologically on Thursday and Friday is it's kind of groups of four, right? We play eight games before there's a little it's not really a mini break, but there is kind of a natural break in the middle. But let's do this in groups of four chronologically. So we'll start with Thursday morning when we are just leaving air tomorrow. Creighton and Louisville will start the festivities. Creighton, Louisville, High Point, Purdue, Montana, Wisconsin, and SIU, Edwardsville, Houston, which is the lowest line total in the entire round of 64. We'll start with that group of four. Creighton, Louisville, High Point, Purdue, Montana, Wisconsin, SIU, Edwardsville, Houston. Any plays in that first group?
I'm gonna play Louisville small in the opener, but that's one I'm not overly strong feeling about. It's just the first game. I got to get something out there. I feel like I lose the first game every single year, so that's not one I'm going to push people to follow. I like the total in the second game, though. High Point, Purdue, the over, sitting at 153.5. I'm actually surprised it hasn't moved at all this week. But I think both these teams are just going to score like crazy against each other. Purdue's ball-screen offense against High Point's drop coverage defense, I think, should really light them up. Braden Smith living in the mid-range, pull-up jumpers, and if they do end up sending help, he's such a great passer. And I don't know that High Point's got a great answer for Trey Kaufman-Wren as a post-up guy. And on the other end, High Point's got a ton of talent. They really mine the transfer portal for some down-transfer guys, and they've got scorers that can get downhill. Purdue's got no rim defense, one of the worst two-point percentage defenses in the entire country. I think both teams can score at will, and the fact that they're going to score should let it get up and down a little bit, teams not getting stops. So I think that sets up well for a lot of points there. And you mentioned the low total in Houston SIUE. I'm going to be playing that first half under. I think Houston's defense is just going to be a major rude awakening for SIUE, who hasn't seen anything like that for a long, long time, especially not in the OVC. And maybe that game loosens up in the second half when it turns into a blowout. So I'm going to try to guard against that by just playing the first half under and maybe even this SIUE first half team total under if I really want to get specific with it.
All right. High Point Purdue total is 153.5, and the Houston SIU Edwardsville game total is 126.5, and Jim's going to play the first half under, and maybe the SIU Edwardsville team total under in the first half as well. Next group of games, Alabama State Auburn, obviously a 32-point spread there. McNeese, Clemson, VCU, BYU, and Georgia Gonzaga. What are you doing with that group?
Man, this is a tough one. All these one seed spreads are so high. I'm kind of like, it's up to the favorite. Like, does Auburn want to win by 40? Because they can. And I'm not really willing to gamble much on that. My favorite in this group is the McNeese Clemson under. 133.5. Maybe you can find 134 out there in the market. I still like it at 133.5. I just think both teams, the way they defend is more to slow you down. Like Clemson will throw out a press, but it's truly just to make you eat up the shot clock. They have the second longest average defensive possession length in the entire country per KenPom. Just really make you get into the shot clock, take some tough jumpers late as your back is against the wall there. And McNeese is somewhat similar. And they've also shown a propensity to slow it down when they play top competition. I think back to they played at Alabama in Tuscaloosa in November, and it was like one of the slower games Alabama's played this season. So I think as they play up in competition, they're willing to slow it down. Clemson really wants to slow it down. It's a low possession game there. Hopefully the athleticism and size on both sides keeps the efficiency down. I like that under 134, 133.5.
What about tomorrow night then? Wofford, Tennessee, Arkansas, Kansas, Yale, A&M, Drake, Missouri to start things out.
Oh, man, Drake, Missouri could be painful for me, Gil. I'm not excited about that one. Just the stylistic clash between the slowdown Drake, well-coached team, and up-tempo Missouri. But I think my favorite here is Yale. I will acknowledge that the spot is not awesome, having played on Sunday and then having to ship west and play Thursday at altitude in Denver against a really physical team. But I just think Yale sets up well in the matchup. Like, they can battle on the defensive glass. They've got some real size, one of the rare Ivy teams that has paint size and athleticism. And then they're just simply the better shot-making team. John Pulakitis, you know, was a bit of a star in March last year against Auburn. I think he can do the same against Texas A&M. That's really compact defensively and lets you shoot over the top. And then Bez Embang, Yale's point guard, a three-time Ivy Defensive Player of the Year. Perfect guy to throw at Wade Taylor and hopefully take him away. As long as they're on the defensive glass, I really like that matchup for Yale.
Jim is a Mizzou grad, for those who missed why he's not looking forward to that. And then finally, we got 30 seconds. Utah State, UCLA, Omaha, St. John's, UCSD, Michigan, and UNC Wilmington, Texas Tech. Anything in that final group?
I'm jumping on UC San Diego. Love the matchup. I think they force a million turnovers in that one against Michigan. And then my favorite one of the first round here, I love these first to 10, first to 15 bets, you know, and I'm going to go Omaha. First to 10, first to 15. They make threes. You just catch St. John's a little sleepy, and then that's a fun little plus money cash there to cap the night.
All right, we'll do Friday's games with Jim. We'll get his Elite Eight, Final Four, and Champion on the other side as well. Jim Root from Three Man Weave right here, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you ready to take your sports betting to the next level? The Sharp Plays at SharpPlays.com is your secret weapon. Since 2011, they've been building trusted relationships with major sportsbooks and sports insiders worldwide. They provide daily updates on what top professional sports bettors and betting groups are wagering on, so you're always ahead of the game. But that's not all. They've just launched a cutting-edge AI betting analyst that provides even more selections and reports, giving you the edge you need to win. The best part, you can check out the Sharp Plays free content anytime. Get real-time betting action, reports, alerts, and more through email and X directly from the pros. Plus, explore all their records, including detailed online logs, right on the website at sharpplays.com. With the Sharp Plays, you're joining a team that's never had a losing year. What do you have to lose? Start today. Get access to the best betting insights at sharpplays.com. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here as well. Jim Root joins us once again, one third of the Three Man Weave crew. And before we launch into the Friday games, chronologically, we'll do them once again on Friday in groups of four. What Jim was referring to in the last segment, again, for those who are new to sports betting, the first to 10, the first to 15. So sportsbooks, and I'm going to give Jay Rude, my buddy, former vice president of race and sports at MGM, credit for this. He was the first person to put these up at MGM Books. I don't know, was it like 10 years ago, 11 years ago? Somewhere in that pocket.
Sounds right.
You would be in an MGM book. They tried first to 20 and then the first to 10. First to 20 was too favorable for the books. First to 10 was too favorable for the bettors. First to 15 was the proper strike zone. But the biggest cheer in any sports book during any game was if a dog got to 15 before the favorite did. And then that same group of people cheering that they won that bet would then turn because they're all betting the favorite anyway. And so they would root for the other team the rest of the way.
It's still, I think, my favorite, just being in Las Vegas for a big sporting event. And if you're just randomly in one of the big books, awesome, like Circa,
yeah,
and you most likely have no idea what's going on, right? When someone hits 15 in the second game of the NCAA tournament and half the place goes nuts, you're like, what? Wait, I don't get it. So I don't get it. We're in the first half, and the score's 15-9.
I remember some of those great Kentucky teams fading them first 15. It was always like a $2 cash. It's like, you know, basically hitting like, you know, a sucky baseball team against the best team in baseball on a given night in a race to 15-point kind of thing in every one of these games. Jim joins us once again at Second Chance Points, at 3MW_CBB for all of Three Man Weave stuff. Let's go to Friday, Jim. First group of four games when we get off the air here. The first to tip on Friday will be Baylor, Mississippi State. Also early, Robert Morris, Alabama, Lipscomb, Iowa State, and Colorado State, Memphis.
They just keep sticking us with a challenging 8-9 game to start the day. So I'm staying away from Baylor, Mississippi State. But I like Memphis. That's been one of my favorite bets throughout. As soon as this bracket came out and the lines, and we saw that Colorado State was favored. I know Colorado State's ahead of Memphis in KenPom and Bartorvik and some of the predictive sites, so that's kind of why the line is where it is. But that's based on all games, and Memphis is terrible as a big favorite. That's kind of kept their analytical rankings down all season. But when they're across from a team that's equal or even better than them, when they're an underdog, they've been awesome this year. Against top 50 competition, they're a top 25 team. Against top 50 teams, Colorado State is 100th for Bartorvik. So this kind of game is where Memphis is better, and maybe it's going to play out like UNC did last night, where that's the right level of competition for UNC. So I like getting even a point or anything, or just taking the plus money line with Memphis against Colorado State. And plus, get to fade the Mountain West again there, Gil. I can't take any issue with that after how it went last night.
A lot of Colorado State love out here for the Mountain West team, but Memphis just got athletes, man. I'm with you on that. Second flurry of games on Friday. Vandy, St. Mary's, Carolina after the destruction of San Diego State yesterday against Ole Miss, Grand Canyon, Maryland, and Norfolk State in Florida.
Yeah, I like St. Mary's and North Carolina here, both matchup-wise. I think St. Mary's is going to slow Vanderbilt down. I mean, St. Mary's slows Gonzaga down three times a year and frustrates them. I think they can do that against Vandy. And St. Mary's is one of the best rebounding teams in the country. Vandy's really small up front. They sacrifice size for speed and recruiting. And I think St. Mary's can out-physical them, handle them on the glass. And as long as St. Mary's doesn't turn it over a ton, which I do not think they will, I think they're going to be okay there. So lay in the 3.5 of the 4. And then UNC, in a tight spread, I was a little surprised to see them favored, but the difference between Pick'em and 1.5 isn't all that much. And I just think it's a wonderful matchup. Ole Miss is a little smaller defensively, so they switch a ton. Their goal is to keep you on the perimeter, force you to play isolation. And North Carolina is, like, totally content in isolation, whether it's R.J. Davis, Seth Trimble, even Cadeau getting downhill. They've been a great isolation offense all season, both in frequency and in efficiency. I think that ends up setting up well for them. And we often see these play-in teams be real successful in the 11-6 game in the second round. I think the Heels are going to be the next one in line there.
Yeah, Heels favored by 1 in the aforementioned game, and St. Mary's favored by 4. And once again, what Jim is talking about with the first four team has reached the round of 32, meaning they win their first round game. 12 of the last 13 years, at least one first four team has gotten to the round of 32, 12 of the last 13 years. To the evening games on Friday, Troy, Kentucky, New Mexico, Marquette, Akron, Arizona, Oklahoma, Connecticut.
I'm certainly tempted to fade the Mountain West again with Marquette and going against New Mexico. Since 2006, the Mountain West is 33% against the spread in NCAA tournament games. It's pretty staggering. So thinking about Marquette, I'm not sure I love Shaka Smart as a favorite. He's more of an underdog type of coach. So instead, I'm looking at the over in Akron, Arizona. Akron is built to play up-tempo. They play four guards basically at all times. They've got four guys like 6'3 and smaller on the floor. And Arizona is going to dominate them in the paint. And I know Tommy Lloyd has had his struggles in the NCAA tournament. Gil, I know you're not a huge fan yourself, but this is the matchup they can thrive. Getting up and down, 5-possession game. This isn't Princeton that's going to slow them down and make them execute in the half court. I think this one is set up well for a lot of points back and forth, and potentially even an Arizona 20-point win given their strength in paint.
I love that you remember my disdain for Tommy Lloyd through the years. Thank you, Jim.
Yes, sir, do.
Yeah. All right, and then we don't have four yet, obviously, lined for the late games on Friday because we have two teams still to be decided tonight. But Bryant, Michigan State, Liberty, Oregon on Friday night. Anything in either of those two?
I'm thinking about Michigan State. The number's a tad high, but Bryant's is a little bit like Akron, where they're going to play at a breakneck pace. And that does great for them in the America East when they're the most athletic team and can kind of take down Maine and whoever they're playing against and just out-athlete them, out-physical them. But you're not going to do that against Michigan State. That front line is just entirely too physical. You're going to dominate the glass. I mean, Bryant played Grand Canyon this year, another team that's like roughly equivalent to them in athletes. It was a 91-possession game, and Bryant lost by 46. And their leading scorer was out, but I just fear their style playing up against the team with more talent, and Michigan State certainly plenty well coached. So that's one where I'm leaning towards the favorite. We don't know the matchup yet for Illinois, as you mentioned, but I kind of like whoever wins, whether it is Xavier, who I'm betting on in the first four game, or Texas. I just think they're kind of set up offensively to take advantage of Illinois' defensive structure, which is basically we'll let you live in the mid-range and take jumpers. But then Xavier and Texas are happy to do that because they've got really good off-the-dribble shot creators. So I think that ended up being a tough draw for Illinois. And I'll probably ride again with the play-in team. We'll go back to that stat you mentioned at the top, that those teams have been really successful over the years.
Yeah, it's interesting. Illinois is we got all kinds of opinions because Will Hill has them going to the Elite Eight as well. So Elite Eight versus a first-round knockout. Speaking of the Elite Eight, who do you have in your Elite Eight?
Yeah, Elite Eight, I'm looking at a lot of chalk for the one seeds. I've got all four one seeds making it. So Auburn, Duke, Florida, Houston all getting there. I mean, they're all like not generationally good teams, but they're darn close just with the way they grade out analytically, and I think they're all that good. I would go with Michigan State and Auburn in the South Regional. In the West Region, I got Florida and Texas Tech. Midwest, Houston. And I've had a real tough time with who to pair them against because I don't trust really any of those teams. I'm thinking about a Texas Xavier Elite Eight run there out of the playing game. So taking on Houston there in the Elite Eight. And then Duke and Wisconsin in the East is where I'm landing on that one.
Final four, all the ones?
No, I'm gonna knock one out here, and it kind of is the darling that everybody's into right now. I'm gonna say Texas Tech beats Florida in the West Regional Final. I think Florida's fantastic. I'm impressed with them every time I watch them. But I picked Texas Tech to the Final Four in the preseason, and they haven't done a whole lot to really knock me off that take. And I think they're healthier, especially by that game. Darian Williams, Chance McMillan will hopefully be close to 100%. I think they can somewhat match Florida's physicality, and Texas Tech's my surprise to go with Houston, Duke, and Auburn.
And who wins the championship game? Who over who?
Oh, I've gone back and forth with this. Auburn was my preseason pick, but they've kind of lost their joy. They seem to be playing under pressure rather than enjoying themselves, enjoying playing basketball. So I'm going to go with Houston. Houston taking down Texas Tech in an all-Texas final game there.
Wow, and a victory for the formula it would be. Three-Man Weave podcast, you go bracket by bracket, Jim?
Yep, every single game in the first round. Check it out. It's out there 2+ hours right now on our podcast feed.
2+ hours. We only did 1:15. They got 2+ hours.
I'm halfway through.
Thank you, Jim. Enjoy. Kelly on Golf Valspar next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Take your betting to a whole another level with First Bet. Whether it's Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, or the road to the Kentucky Derby in Preakness, First Bet puts the action at your fingertips. Sign up now, firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. Can we talk about, before we get back into country clubbing, tennis and golf, and college hoops with JVT, of course. Heavy on the college hoops. 24 hours and change away from March Madness. Can I just give a brief White Lotus review? White Lotus season 3. Have you been watching this at all?
No. I was waiting for you guys to tell me if it actually got good, then I'd start.
Did you watch seasons 1 and 2?
Yeah, because you said the first couple episodes were pretty slow/bad, right?
All right, season 1, a masterpiece.
Incredible.
A masterpiece of the nuances and the dynamic of human behavior, right? You had the couple with the teenagers who had the friend over, mm-hmm. like the dynamic between the teenagers, the dynamic from teenagers to parent, the dynamic between the parents, like everything was so nuanced. Remember, there was that young couple. He was super controlling. She wanted to be independent. Like, it was just brilliant. It was fantastic.
In fact, it was so good, I believe the second season is a little overrated because of it.
That's probably true. There was a bit of a drop off on season two.
Like, I still liked
there it. It was still great. It's all, by the way, it's all against great, beautiful backdrops. Maui the first year, Sicily the second season, this year Thailand. The second season was great, particularly between the two young couples, right? That those kind of, like, you know, jealousy dynamics. The Italian, you know, the guy from Sopranos, what's his name in real life? Anyway, the grandfather, father, and young son, mm-hmm. and the Italians with the ladies of the hotel who were working there, if you will. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was great. Season 3 has taken forever to get going. And we're 5 episodes in. By the way, that's the other thing. Season 1 was 6 episodes. Season 2 was 7 episodes. This is 8 episodes. That's part of the problem. So they took way longer, I think. Mike White, who's the genius behind this. Mike White, not that same guy. He took longer to get this going. So it's like 5 episodes in, and I'm still like, I don't know why I'm watching.
This is where, did you ever watch Game of Thrones?
No, I didn't watch
it. So, Game of Thrones had a similar problem, in my opinion, of, like, it got so popular, right? But, like, season 3, 4, 5, you're like, all right, there's, like, a million storylines going on that they have to somehow conclude at the end of this show. And the last, the last season or two, Gil, you were like, oh, I remember when it took a whole season for them to travel from this location to this.
Yes.
And now it's the next episode.
Well, that was most famously, you remember Lost?
Mm, yeah, Lost. Oh, same problem.
I was obsessed with Lost. And I was like, how are they going to put all these together? The final episode, you're like, this was terrible.
You're like, wait, they didn't answer this. They skipped through this all
how
quick.
How disappointing. Yeah. Anyway, season 3, not quite as good so far. So, yeah, now, maybe they'll magically make it amazing in the last 3 episodes, but I seriously doubt it. Although one dynamic is cool between
I didn't really get an answer, though, so should I fire it up? Because I thought you guys were starting to get a little crazy about last episode.
Stormy was, but I'm not in. I didn't think it was that great.
All right, I'm holding.
There is a dynamic between 3 ladies that is great.
Okay.
Which is essentially, I'll just give you the conceit of it, once any one of the 3 disappears, the other 2 talk smack about her. So that's a funny little thing that goes
on. This is like our Michael Craig, like, I need the hold, cancel, fire from you, okay? I'm holding right now. I'm still holding.
I miss Michael Craig. I miss Philly Mike. Time to country club. Let's go country clubbing, everybody.
Yeah.
Bam.
Those guys have such great hands.
You ever been so happy like that guy on the left there where your mouth just stays open like him when he's smiling?
No, probably never. I've probably never been that happy, Gil. No, that guy's starring in a B-roll commercial of some kind. It's just fantastic.
Gave out 3 tennis picks earlier, all dogged. 2 on the men's side, Fabian Marozan against Gael Monfils. Also, I'm on Sebastian Baez against Alexander Bublik. And on the ladies' side, big dog, +237, Julia Grabher, spelled phonetically Julia Grabher, over Tyra Katerina Grant. +237, so 3 tennis plays. As far as the future, Naomi Osaka, who's our one future, have her at the quarter, Q2, 7-1, and also for the tournament at 66-1. She barely got by her first round opponent, Staro Dubtseva, yesterday. She was down 5 love before you can blink. She came back, she won it. Her body language was terrible, so we'll see how that goes. But as far as what exists now, and the big players besides Osaka have not really started yet, but you have the usual suspects. Do we have those odds by any chance? Or I'll just do them on the screen here. But they, what I love about this on the ladies' side is we have a lot of, and this is directed at me, right? Because I am such a IGA proponent, IGA Swiatek. I wish that the betting odds felt like those haters did. I wish IGA's numbers would bounce. But they know what I know. She's awesome. So her numbers are still not good. And really, I played her in her quarter at -115. I know mathematically it's just a it's not that smart of a play. I didn't play her to win the whole thing because it's not a juicy enough number, but I could totally see her winning it. But it's not like her numbers are getting, what is she, 3-1?
She's currently 3-1 at
yeah,
DraftKings.
3-1 yeah. to win this. So
Sabalenka, the only one shorter.
Sabalenka is the short shot. Sabalenka, who lost in the Indian Wells finals to 17-year-old Mira Andreeva. And if you want to look at the entire sort of thing on the ladies' side, Sabalenka plus 225, Iga plus, 3-1. Mira is plus 675, and everybody else is double digits, starting with Coco at 10-1. Shop around for all these. So again, the only value I found was on Osaka, who after her first round win, and I put win in quotes because it was not pretty, she's still 50-1 even after that. So there really is no play besides that to me, because I do think that the only reason Osaka was a play because it's a weak quarter, and otherwise everybody's too short to play. And on the men's side, Carlos Alcaraz 2-1 is the short shot. Novak is 8-1. Zverev is 10-1. I did not make a play, by the way. Indian Wells champ Jack Draper also 10-1. I did not make a play on the men's side. What are you smiling at?
These odds. Djokovic, I'm at DraftKings right now. Djokovic 9-1. Jack Draper 10-1.
Yeah, well,
that's the difference between those two players.
Well, I mean, look,
right now,
Djokovic is.
I know he just won, but
Djokovic is not a young man. Was he 30?
Might have to make a principal bet here. 9-1.
No, I'm with you on that. By the way, I mean, look. This is one of those things where you wonder, okay, what does Djokovic care about anything as much as he does the slams? No.
Right.
So, you know, will he get far? He's the fourth seed here, by the way. So he's properly, I hate to say, but I think he's properly priced.
9-1.
I know.
When's the last time he's started a tournament at odds this long?
I could not tell you.
I mean, it's got to be years, right?
Years and years. He's going to be 38 in May.
Completely unfair question of me to ask Gil.
No. Right now, but like, it's been
right?
Forever. I don't ever remember seeing
like
that.
There's not one he entered where he was kind of hurt or something and was still this long. Even the tournaments he entered when he was kind of hurt, he was still only like 4-5-1.
If you play anything here, I would play something in the double digits, and I would take like a rando player. Like I would take a Daniil Medvedev at 14-1, something like that. Now, I did not, just to be clear, but if I were, that's how I would play it. Miami fast hard court. So, again, for the futures market, just to let you know what they are, but the only thing I played was Osaka. To golf and the Valspar.
The Valspar, yes, last event of the Florida Swing. You are going to see odds board Tommy Fleetwood, your short shot at 11-1. Xander Schauffele, 12-1. Seb Straka, 16-1. Everybody else, 20-1 or longer. What you got here, Gil, is a lot of kind of everybody starting to prepare for the Masters, right? So everybody who's either hot right now or needs to work on some things plays in this tournament usually. It's a great tournament. Just runs into, you know, first week of March Madness, obviously takes all the headlines, but this is one of the tougher courses you see on the PGA Tour. If you're doing your own handicapping at home, this is a heavy, heavy, less than driver course. You're going to see them club down fairly often. This is driving distance off the tee, third shortest on the PGA Tour because of how much clubbing down you have to do. So keep that in mind. Heavy approach, long approach course is what you're going to see here. A little bit of scrambling going to be important. Hot putter obviously comes into play. As far as what I did betting-wise for this, light on the outrights, played Sepp Straka, my guy, the big ox. We're going back to him, Gil, 18-1 in a little bit weaker field here. Played him, and then 35-1 on Shane Lowry. Biggest thing I can say about this tournament, though, watch your timing on bets. Right now, it looks like it is setting up for a bit of a wave advantage. It looks like the winds are going to pick up late in the afternoon tomorrow and then will remain through the morning on Friday. So right now, it does appear like there's going to be a little bit of a wave advantage for everybody that's teeing off early on Thursday and then playing in the afternoons on Friday. Lowry is one of those guys that's in the afternoon on Thursday. It's a little bit why you're getting the number that you are on him, but too big of a number for me to pass up. Top 10s real quick, Fleetwood, Straka, and Nikolai Højgaard. Also played top 20s on Fleetwood, Straka, and then Michael Kim, going back to him. Matchups, Michael Kim over Tom Kim, Alex Smalley over Victor Hovland, which I love. Vic's a mess right now. And then Grayson Sig over Matt Kuchar.
Should I give my three tennis picks that I did not play that are destined to win because
yeah,
I did
got?
Not play them? Birel, Bundar, and Bolter on the ladies' side.
No, the bees.
Birel,
like NASCAR.
Bundar, and Bolter. Didn't play them, so now I will be actively rooting against them. just so I don't feel bad about it. Play as you deem necessary. JVT, all his college hoops plays. March Madness next.